Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. We'll read verses 38 through 44 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 8, verses 38 through 44. John chapter 8, verses 38 through 44. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? And let's finish on verse 44 together. Ready? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he spake a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And let's pray. Now, Father, please help us today. Lord, we're a needy people. Father, we are in need of a great and wonderful God that we have, which is you. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts today. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Oh, never again will we all quite be assembled the same way. So that means there's some specific things that you want done in this service today. Please have your freedom and your will to do that today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
The sermon that I'll preach to you today will apply to everybody in the house. I think every sermon that's preached from the pulpit in some way or another applies to us all, but specifically, you'll find yourself today in this sermon somewhere because you have an enemy. That enemy, specifically, would rather you not hear some point of this sermon. You see, here's something that we all must deal with. It occurred to me this morning as I sat in my office looking over the outline that the Holy Spirit of God has led me to preach. I noticed someone looking over my shoulder. He had a red suit on, horns, and a long tail. If he looked over my shoulder, he said, You're going to preach that? I said, Yeah, I'm going to preach that. He said, Well, it looks to me like you're going to try to help a lot of people that I hate. I said, Well, that's how it's going to be this morning. He said, Well, I'm going to do everything I can to keep that from happening. I said, Well, you're going to have your hands full because you're not contending with me. You're contending with God because this is not my sermon. It's his. He said, Well, I've been taking him on for a long time. We'll try again this morning, but let me promise you something. Satan has already seen my outline. He knows each point of the outline today. Now, everybody here is going to fit into one of, maybe more than one of, the points of my outline. I think Satan has already said, you know what, don't let this startle you. There are not 21 points in my outline, but he said, Rick Young, where you at, Rick Young? He said, Rick Young, I'm going to try to keep him from hearing point number 21. I'm going to, Mrs. Lawrence, I've seen her back here. He said, Mrs. Lawrence, I don't want her to hear point number 19. Mrs. Deal said, I don't want you to hear point number 12. Satan's already planning. See, he knows what you need from this sermon. He watched me outline it. He sees what's in it. And he's going to do his dead level best to make sure that the truth of God is not delivered at the doorstep of your heart. Don't let that happen to you today. Don't let that happen to you. The Bible says in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The title of my sermon today is this, the father of lies. The father of lies. God is called our Heavenly Father. George Washington is called the father of our country. Abraham in the Old Testament was called the father of many nations in Genesis 17, verse number 5. There was a man named Jubal, J-U-B-A-L. He was called the father of those who play the harp and the organ. That's found in Genesis 4:21. Job, in Job 29:16, was called the father to the poor. God is called the father of the fatherless in Psalm 68, verse 5. God is also called an everlasting father in Isaiah 9:6. Henry Ford is considered the father of the auto industry. God has honored mankind. God has honored man by allowing him to be called a father. I have four children. I get the honor of wearing a title, father. Now let me tell you something about a good father. Oh, of course, a good father, he gives life to you. He feeds you. A good father clothes you. A good father trains you. A good father is your protector. A good father is your leader. A good father is your provider. But wait a minute. Entering the realm of this magnificent title, Father, the Bible says that Satan, or the devil, is the father of lies. What? How could he taint this title, Father? And what a terrible title to hold, the father of lies. The devil is in his realm a good father. So what do you mean? The Bible says he's the father of lies. I guess the same thing that you would do as a humanly father to nurture your children, the devil then must do as the father of lies to nurture his lies. For instance, he gives life to lies. Every lie you ever tell, it starts by you coming in contact with its father. He impregnates your heart and your mind so your mouth gives birth to his lie. He feeds your lies so that they may grow. He clothes your lies with the fine garment of self-justification. He trains your mouth to be cunning and shrewd. He protects your lies from the danger of truth. He leads your lies to the bullseye of destruction. You know, the more you hang around him, the more you'll be like him, and the more you're like him, the more you'll lie, because he is the father of lies. A lie is the opposite of the truth. Hey, listen to me, everybody here. There are people here, you struggle telling the truth. One of the simplest of characteristics of a Christian, but you just have a hard time telling the truth. You lie to yourself. Well, I think Christians ought to be honest. Now, Jesus is the truth. John 14:16, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. That means this: lies are the opposite of the truth. When you lie, you're doing the exact opposite of what Jesus would have you do. When you are a liar, you are the opposite of what Jesus is. Lying is a pretty serious thing. When a lie is conceived in your heart, you have been intimate with its father long enough that the child is born through your mouth. It's called lies. He is the father of all your lies. He's the father of all my lies. He is the father of lies. That's what the Bible says. He is the father of lies. Now, that's not my sermon today. Though it, from the sounds of the pin dropping, it would be an excellent sermon for the day. That is the introduction to the sermon. But indeed, we have your attention. He is the father of lies. But this one who initiates the lies that you tell, I better tell you something. He's been lying to you too.
Right.
He lies to you. Listen to me, and I mean this from the depth of my soul. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether you hear this sermon live or off our website or off a CD or a tape, every human being that hears this sermon, Satan is lying to you about something right now in your life. Every human here. He is lying to you about something as we sit here in this congregation. Satan, somewhere in your life, he's worked his way in, and he's selling you a wooden nickel. He is lying to you, and he is working on you in some area of your life. You say, what are those areas, Brother Owens? Let me tell you this morning about the father of lies. Let me tell you what areas I think he may be creeping into your life. For instance, Satan loves to lie about the past. He loves to lie about your past. Philippians 3:13, the Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The Apostle Paul, you see, he realized there were some things behind him that could get him down. And he said, I am not going to look back at those things that could get me down. I'm going to look forward to those things that could get me up in my Christian life. Now listen, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, Paul had a pretty rugged start. Paul was a pretty tough cookie. He was awful rude and unkind even to Christians. He was a persecutor of Christians. At the voice, at the command of Paul, Christians could be put to death. And there is a lifestyle that goes along with that kind of thing. Anybody that's away from God is not going to have a good, wholesome lifestyle. And Paul was away from God, and he had not lived right. Now, there came a point one day on the Damascus Road when the Apostle Paul got born again, and he started serving God. And I will guarantee you, the day that Paul got saved, Satan moved in and said, you can't do anything for God. Do you have any idea what kind of track record you have? Satan will come along, and he is a liar. I am talking to you today about the father of lies, and he'll lie to you. What will he lie to me about? He'll lie to you about your past. I am so glad that the day that Satan came to the Apostle Paul and said, Paul, look at your background. Look at your past. I mean, you actually killed the Christians that you say you're going to go help. Hey, you can't do this. I'm glad the Apostle Paul said this. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before. He said, I may have a crummy past, but I've got a good future. And he said, I'm not going to let you get me down with my past. The devil's a liar, folks. He is a liar. If he ever gives any bit of truth, it's because he's going to tuck a lie in between the two pieces of bread. The meat in the sandwich is a lie, I'll guarantee it. He's a liar. He's a liar. There's somebody here today. Satan is lying to you about your past. Paul said, I want to forget about my forgiven past and reach toward my God-given future. Satan uses your past against you. He reminds you of all your past failures, and then he lies to you about how they're going to keep you from doing anything from God. Satan lies to you and says, God can't use you, and you say, but why? He says, because the way he acted last week. He says, because the way he acted last month. Because the way he acted last year. Because the way he acted back in your teenage years. Because the way you've been acting in the past. You listen to me, Satan's a liar. He's a liar. He lies about God's forgiveness in regard to your past. He also lies, and we get this, he also lies to you about some other things about your past. For instance, he'll come to you and say, he'll say, you know what? You don't need to do anything for God. You did last year. Oh, you used to serve God. That's good enough. You used to be involved at the church. That's good enough. You used to work on a bus route. That's that's good enough. See, he lies to you about your past. He'll lie to you about the fact that your past will keep you from serving God. Then he'll come along and he'll say, hey, you're a wonderful person. You should serve God all the time. You went to church. You came to Sunday night church week after week after week and years going by. You don't have to do that anymore. That's good enough for me. You better listen to me. When Satan comes along and puts his stamp of approval on what you've already done for God in the past, it is not Satan's stamp of approval we're looking for. It is God's. So don't you let him take your wicked past and keep you down from serving God, but don't let him take your righteous past and make it adequate for not serving God today, because he is a liar. He is a liar. If you say, well, if all the stories that you have to tell about what God's done in your life, it's always, well, I remember back when. Well, I remember back. Well, I'll tell you what, remember back? It's time for you to stop remembering back and start remembering yesterday and today. Satan is lying to you. He is helping you to find yourself self-justified because you served God yesterday. He lies to you and says, yesterday's service is adequate for today. And that is a lie. God has something he wants you to do this year. God has something he wants you to do this month. God has something he wants you to do this week. God has something he wants you to do this day and this hour. And don't you let him lie to you about your past. He's a liar. I'm telling you today, we're dealing with the ultimate liar, the exact opposite of Jesus Christ, who is all truth and all honesty, is Satan, and he is all lies and all filth. Don't let him lie to you about your past. Hey, be careful now. He'll lie to you about your future. He lies about everything. He lies about everything. I tell you, one of the hardest things in the world for me to deal with is a liar. A liar. Oh my. Liars are hard to deal with. You can't tell when they're telling the truth. You can't tell when they're lying. You can't tell that. He lies about your future. He'll tell you that you have plenty of time to get right with God. I wonder how many of you've come to church and you know there are things that are not right in your life and things that you ought to change and you're satisfied with the thought that somebody's putting into your mind. You'll get around to that. You have plenty of time to get right with God. Satan's a liar. Right. He's a liar. The minute you know something is in your life that it should not be there, Satan moves in and says, but don't fix it now. And God says, fix it now. Satan says, it'll be all right. You don't have to fix it. God says, fix it now. Satan's a liar. He'll lie to you that you have plenty of time to get that thing fixed. He'll tell you this. Those of you that you say, well, you know, I'm a drinker and I got a six-pack in my fridge, but Satan will come along and say, but you're not going to be an alcoholic. He says, you're not going to be an alcoholic. That's not going to affect your marriage. He's a liar.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He told every alcoholic alive they're not going to be an alcoholic until they're an alcoholic. Then he says, well, deny that you are. You can quit anytime you want, but you don't. He's a liar. You're listening to him lie to you. You're not going to become a drug addict. You can piddle with the drugs and smoke a little dope and you can do your own thing, but you're not going to become a drug addict. What's he doing? He's lying about your future. He'll say to you, go ahead and drink. You're not going to be an alcoholic. Go ahead and dabble in your drugs. You're not going to become a drug addict. He has lied to every drug addict that ever walked this earth and said to them, you're not the one that's going to become the addict. And we're dumb enough to say, well, I believe you. You're listening to the father of lies. Listen, there are some marriages in here. I mean, you're in intensive care. You better do something. He tells you, well, you don't have to fix your marriage. Don't worry. It's not that bad. Man, I asked a man, I said, well, how are you doing? He said, okay. You know what? I don't understand how he can say okay. I say his marriage is on the edge of disaster, and he's, oh, it's okay. Who told you that? When you live in hell at home, problem. You just keep ignoring it and sweeping the problems under the carpet, hoping they're just going to vanish like dirt from the carpet, and that's not going to happen. He's lying to you. Wonder how many people, once she runs off and leaves you, he runs off with some other woman, they say, I didn't realize this bad. Who was telling you that all along? I mean, when you hear the preaching and the preaching says this is what a family is and your family's not that, and the devil comes along and says, but don't you worry. Yours may be hell, but you have plenty of time. Leading you closer and closer to the brink of disaster as he lies and he lies and he lies and he lies. He is the father of lies. Sometimes women get a little suspicious of their husbands. It even happened in the Bible. Adam had stayed out late one night taking care of the animals. Then another night, when Adam came home, Eve became upset. She said, you're running around with another woman. I know it. Adam said, you are unreasonable. You're the only woman on the face of the earth. They quarreled until Adam finally fell asleep. He woke up and Eve was poking at his chest. What do you think you're doing? Adam said to Eve. She said, I'm counting your ribs. I'm telling you, the devil lies to us about our past. The devil comes along, he lies to us about our future. He is the father of lies. He's the father of lies. He tells you, he says, your future is secure. Now you listen to me. When you're not obeying God and somebody's telling you it's okay, it's not God telling you that. It's a devil telling you that. He lies to you about your finances. And listen to me now. It's spring fever time. We're going to buy a new house or a new truck. We're going to go out and buy something new. And the devil walks right over to the car lot with you and says, spend. You can do it. Spend. 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 And you listen to him. Use no common sense. He says, your future is okay. You're going to have plenty of money to pay for all your toys. You're going to have plenty of money. I don't know who all the salespeople work for, but I don't think it's real wise to advise somebody to buy something that they can't afford.
Yes, sir.
The devil says, spend. I wonder how many of you would say to me today, yeah, the devil was there a few years ago, Brother Owens, and I'm still paying for it. He was there to tell me it's okay, you can handle it. Better use some good sense about how you spend your money. The devil's out to predict your future. He'll lie to you. He'll say, spend. He's going to lie to you about your immorality being safe. He'll say to you, you're not going to get syphilis. You're not the one that's going to get gonorrhea. You won't get AIDS. You won't get pregnant. Not you. He's a liar. He's a liar. How many of you have fallen for his lies and faced the catastrophe with your morality? He tells you there's no urgency about getting serious about your Christianity. He's a liar. He's a liar. He'll lie to you about your past. He'll lie to you about the security of your future. He'll lie to you about your potential. You know, he'll say to you, you can never do anything for God. You're never going to do anything for God. You can't be a good Christian. Why try? He lies to people like that. I wonder how many of you, the father of lies has come to you and said, you can't get anything accomplished for God. You can't be a good Christian. Oh, the kind of Christianity that the Bible teaches, that Brother Owens preaches, you can't do that. He's a liar. He has some of you psyched out. Well, you see Christianity and a pure kind of Christianity. You look at it, and it's got an enticement to you. But he moves in right away and says, but you can't do that. You can't do that. You tried and you failed and you tried and you failed and you tried and you failed and you can't do it. I'm telling you, he's your enemy. He's a liar. He is a liar. He'll lie to you about your potential. He lies and says, you can't be like those other good Christians. He's a liar. You can be like those other good Christians. He lies and says, no, you must grow up in a Christian home all your life to be a good Christian. Satan, you snotty-faced liar, if you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and you can become a good Christian if you want to be a good Christian. You say, Brother Owens, I wasn't reared. I'm not like my daughter Charlotte is here. My daughter's never spent one moment in a public school. My daughter's dressed right from the day that she was born. My daughter's been in family devotions and personal devotions. You say, I wasn't raised like that. I don't have a chance at being a good Christian. Somebody's lying to you. Nowhere in this book does it say you had to be reared in Christianity all your life to be a good Christian. You took the devil's lie, and you took it hook, line, and sinker. He's lying to you, and that's why some of you have not risen up to do something with your life for God, because you've been listening to a liar. He's a liar, I tell you. He lies and says, you didn't grow up in the church. You can't make it. Oh, yes, you can. He lies. There's some of you say, Brother Owens, I want a good marriage, but I can't have one. Who told you that? You didn't hear it from God. You didn't hear it in these Sunday schools. You didn't hear it from this preacher or this pulpit. Sure, you can have a good marriage. That's not doable. Somebody's lying to you. Who you been listening to? You ever heard the redneck woman's prayer? Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand a man. Lord, I pray for love to forgive him. Dear Lord, I pray for patience to handle his moodiness. But Lord, I don't pray for strength, because Lord, if I prayed for strength and you gave it to me, I'd beat him to death with a toilet plunger. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this for a second. I'm going to tell you something. Satan comes to you and he lies to you about your potential. He says this. He says, you could never be a soul winner. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. He said, but I'm shy. God is looking for some shy people. Let the power of the Holy Spirit of God work through them. You could be a soul winner. Somebody's lying to you. The devil comes along and says, I could never be a Sunday school teacher. I could never live up to the role model expectation. Somebody's lying to you. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. The devil comes along and says, well, you could never be a bus worker down there at the church. You could never do that. Somebody's lying to you. You could do it. You could do it. The devil lies about your potential. He says, you couldn't have a good marriage. You couldn't be a good Christian. You couldn't be a Sunday school teacher. You couldn't be a bus worker. You couldn't be a deacon someday. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, but you couldn't do anything for God. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Some of you teenagers, let me warn you, you keep yourself pure and you keep yourself clean. But the devil comes along and he says, well, there's no way you'll make it to the wedding altar virgin. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. You say, well, Brother Owens, in this day and age. Well, let me tell you something. God's alive and well in this day and age. And people can still live right in this day and age. And I do not care how much old smutty face wants to lie to the church of God. God is alive and well. And whatever the potential that's made available to God, it is available today. Oh, Brother Owens, I don't think, hey, you say, Brother Owens, I've already soiled myself morally. You could be pure from here on out. You could be pure from here on out. You say, I've already made a mistake. Okay, from here on out, you do it. And the devil comes along and says, well, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. You couldn't handle that. Yes, you can. You better watch out. You've been listening to old Smutty Face, and he's a liar. Where do you think you get that term, liar, liar, pants on fire? His britches done been set on fire a long time ago. He's a liar. He's a liar. So you businessmen, I just don't think I could build a business and have good Christian character while I do it today and be a success. Somebody lied to you. You could be a decent businessman and still go out and build a business and be a Christian at the same time. Come to church, go soul winning, be involved. You could be another Russell Anderson or Jack DeCoster, men who give their lives to making money to aid the cause of Christ. You could. But the devil comes along and says, well, you couldn't do that. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. The devil is a liar about your potential. The devil is a liar about your past. The devil is a liar about your future. He is the father of lies. He's the father of it. Those of you men that work here, assistant pastors, devil come along and say, oh, you're not going to build a great work. Let me tell you guys something. He's a liar. He's a liar. If you got a ministry around this church, the devil comes along and says, it's not you. You're not the one that can do that. You better stop and realize who you're listening to. He is a liar. So, well, I'm too old to do anything for God. You've been listening to the liar. You've been listening to the liar. Well, I'm too uneducated. Don't you listen to the liar. There's a liar out there, the father of lies. He comes and lies to us about our potential. You hear about the blonde that went to a mind reader? Saved some money. He read her for half price. I'm too uneducated to do something for God. You'd be shocked what God can do if you'll let him. I'm too weak. He's a liar. Say, Brother Owens, I'm too late. I've wasted too much of my life. No, you have not. You have not. Now, he's a liar. I'm here to tell you today, there is a liar. His name is Satan. He is a devil, and he's going to lie to you, and there are a bunch of you. You've been listening to him. You say, well, I can't do anything for God. You've been listening to the liar. He is the father of lies. He'll lie to you about your past. He'll lie to you about your future. He'll lie to you about your potential. He'll lie to you about the forgiveness that God gives. He'll lie to you about it. Well, it's one of those things he loves to lie about. He loves to lie about the forgiveness of God. He says to you, well, God forgave you of that once, but he's not going to forgive you of it again. Satan's a liar. Satan's a liar. I am not condoning you committing a sin repetitively. But I am telling you something. God is repetitive about his forgiveness. Yeah. Satan will come to you and he'll say, well, you messed your life up royal once before and you went back to God and now you got your life in a mess again. There's no sense in going back, but I've got news for you. You come on back to God. Because Satan's a liar. He'll lie about the forgiveness of God. He said, God never really forgave you of that. That dirty, rotten, low-down skunk. How dare he try to enter the mind of a Christian and try to say to you that your God's a liar and he's not a forgiver. Hey, if you ask God to forgive you, he forgave you. My God's a God of integrity. And you better remember, we're talking about the one that's influencing your mind is the father of lies. And the one he's lying about is the father of truth. You better choose who you're going to believe. He lies and says, God's bitter with you. He lies and says, God's holding a grudge against you. Let me tell you something. My God doesn't live that way. God's bigger than that. You go around holding grudges. You go around being bitter, but God doesn't. God's not bitter. Bitterness is sin. The Bible teaches it very clearly. How in the world could God be bitter with you? He's not. Satan lies to you. Satan comes to you, he's psyching you out. He is a liar. He is a father of lies. He said, listen, it won't do you any good to get right with God again. Yes, it will. Say, Brother Owens, how often should I get right with God? As often as you need to get right with God, because God's still willing. See, Satan's a liar. He is a liar. He lies to you about God's forgiveness. Boy, I'll tell you something. I imagine the Apostle Peter went through a pretty heavy battle one day. Peter then traveling with Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is on his way to the cross of Calvary to be crucified. Peter followed afar off. You've all heard the story time and time again. Peter ends up swearing and cussing and denying that he knows Jesus Christ. He got himself all backslidden, away from God. Can you imagine the struggle that Peter went through from that day to the day when God had said, Peter, I want you to preach a big old meeting and get a whole bunch of people saved on Pentecost. Can you imagine how Peter must have struggled with that? Oh, God, I've let you down so many times, and God, I denied you, and I lied, and I cussed, and all of that, and now you want me to launch out and try to go do something for you? I don't know if I can. And Satan came and said, you can't, Peter. You can't. You can't do it, Peter. You sinned against God. Peter, stay home on the day of Pentecost. He said, Peter, whatever you do, don't prepare a sermon for Pentecost. You're not the one that can preach it. Peter, whatever you do, Peter, don't even try. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't try again. And I thank God that the morning of Pentecost, the apostle Peter got up and he said, I don't know about you, but I know one thing. I asked him to forgive me. I'm going to believe he did. I'm going to take my Bible. I'm running down to Pentecost. I'm going to pop that baby open and let's see what God can do with the forgiven apostle Peter. Peter showed up, opened his Bible, began preaching, and 3,000 people got saved. And I'm sure that old Peter said, thank God I didn't believe the liar. Thank God I didn't believe the liar. I believe God. He lies about forgiveness. He lies about your value. He's a liar. Jesus died for all of mankind, but really not personally for you. You listen to me. Satan will lie like that. This mankind thing. Mankind in the mind of God is made up of individuals. When Jesus Christ died, Mrs. Hawkins, had you been the only one, he would have died for you. And his eyes on you this morning. It's personal. Oh, your value. Who here would have given up their own child to die for a bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinners? The human race would have never done that. But God did, and you were one of those sinners. He lies about your value. He says you're worthless to God. He says you're worthless to the church. You're worthless to the preacher. You're worthless to the cause of Christ. He'll lie to you and lie to you about your value. Now, you know what you need to do? When the devil comes and tries to lie to you about your value, you better remind him of what has been paid on your account. You better stop and say, look here, old smutty face. If I'm worthless, then why did the God of the universe, who happens to be the one in charge of you, why in the world would the God of the universe gave his own son for me? I'm not worthless. I'm a value to God, and you are of value to God, and he'll lie to you though. Oh, Satan is such a liar and a deceiver. He'll lie to you about, you know what he did? He'll come and he'll lie to you about the pains that you face emotionally. He'll come and say, this has got to keep you down. It's a funny thing. Two people can face the very same emotional pain in life, whatever it is. One goes on and does something great with their life and for God. The other one just sets in their pain all the time. Someone else said, this hurts, but I'm going on. Those of you just sitting there moaning, Satan says, moan.
Okay.
You can't move.
Okay, I can't move.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it hurts.
You can't do anything, can you?
No.
I mean, you're just in so much pain because of what life's done to you. You can't do anything for God, can you?
No, we're buddies. Thanks for being with me here. Get your tail out of my face.
Somebody else faced the very same emotional pain that you did. And when Satan said, you can't go on, that somebody said, I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm not going to waller in self-pity the rest of my life. I'm not going to do it. I'm a value of God. He gave me a life. I'm going to live that life. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to pine. I'm going to do something. But he's a liar. So some of you, you're sitting in the love seat with him. He's just telling you everything you want to hear, and you're hearing it and believing it. Somebody's lying to you. He says, you have nothing to offer God. Oh, yes, you do. Let me explain something to you. Everybody in the balcony, listen to this very carefully. If you're alive today, and I think all of you are except for one, and I think they're asleep, I don't think they're dead. But if you're alive today, you are alive because God wants something from your life. Now, are you going to give it to him? Are you going to ignore him? Everybody in this choir, you're sucking air. That means God has something for you to do. Now go find it and do it. Everybody in this building, if you're alive, pinch yourself. You feel a little pain? Hey, kick yourself. Elbow your wife. Find out if you're alive. If you're breathing air, God has something for you to do. And if you say, well, man, there's nothing I can do for God, then why are you alive? You're not there for us to look at because that's not real pleasant. God didn't leave you around as decorations for the party. Unless it's a pity party.
Oh, life is so bad.
It's not so bad. Hell's bad, my friend. If you're alive, that means you are of great value to God, and you are important to God, and God has something for you to do. But the liar, he comes along. He gets lying to you. You ought to be sad about everything. He's a liar. He's a liar. Hey, he lies to you about your standing with the pastor. Boy, you'd almost have to be a pastor to understand this. Satan will come and lie to you about your standing with the pastor. Your standing with the man of God. I am amazed at how many people think someone come to me and say, you upset with me? I'm thinking, why? Well, somebody told me you were. My question is, did they smell like smoke?
You say, yeah, it's my husband.
I'm not talking about that. Are you mad at me, Brother Owens? Who you been talking to? Who's been climbing in your ear and getting into your brain? I don't know of anybody at this church I'm mad at. I don't know anybody at this church I'm put out with. Not at all. There are people walking around, oh, I don't think he likes me. What is wrong with you? You've been listening to. The little guy in the red suit with the long tail that smells like smoke, he's been climbing in your ear and into your brain, and there's plenty of room in that cavern. But he's in there, and he's saying to you, Brother Owens doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. And you say, I know, I knew it all along. Owens mad at you. I'll tell you who I'm mad at. I'm mad at old Smutty Face. Now, if Satan this morning says, I don't think this Owens guy likes me, that is the truth. I hate him. I hate what he does to us. I hate his lies. That sermon, he outlined it. He must have had a picture of me on his desk while he outlined that sermon. That one's for me. Yeah, they're all for you. But I don't target people in my preaching. I target truth in my preaching. You say, that pierced my heart. Maybe it's God, since he knows what's in your heart. I just know Brother Owen sets up video recorders around our house, and he records the way I live. And I come in here, and my life is his outline, and I'm sick of it. I know my wife is meeting with this man and telling him everything I do wrong. Brother Owens thinks I'm worthless. You know what the devil does? He lies good people right out of the church. Lies them right out of the church. Something I've discovered, people desire to have they desire deeply to have the confidence of God's man. And Satan knows that. So he's constantly working on the congregation and the followers in the church to make them believe that the man of God does not have confidence in them. I face it every day of my life. You know why most of you, I'll put it this way, many of you come to see me long enough to make sure everything's okay between you and I. I know that. And it angers me. I wonder how many people Satan's hurt. And said, I don't think he likes you when I love you so deeply. He didn't like it when somebody preaches truth like this. Bothers him. But Brother Owens would like for me to leave this church. Brother Owens don't want anybody to leave this church. I'll joke every once in a while, and I'll say, well, if this ruffles your feathers, you can go ahead and shoot up the road. We need the room in the parking lot. I may say that, but I don't mean that. Well, with one of you, I do. I wish Satan would stop talking to you for me. You hear that? I wish Satan would stop talking to you for me, and I wish you'd stop listening to him. He's a liar. He is a liar. He lies about your importance. Proverbs 8:13 says, pride and arrogance do I hate, the Lord says. Get this. He'll lie to you about how important you really are out the church. This church would go under without you, Satan says. They've got to have you. Let me make something very clear to every human being alive, and including this pastor. God could take care of this church without me, without you, without anybody in this congregation. Well, if I left here, it may make a gap. It would probably make a gap. We don't want you to leave here, but your arrogance is what's going to cause you to leave that gap.
Yes, sir.
You say, well,